this way. There ain't no wiggle room. There ain't no wiggle room. There ain't no wiggle room. It's only Jesus' way. So don't look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. So don't look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. There's only up or down. There's only up or down. There's only up or down. And up is Jesus' way. There's only up or down. There's only up or down. There's only up or down. And up is Jesus' way. So don't look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. So don't look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. There twain no twiggle room. There twain't no twiggle room. There twain't no twiggle room. It's only Jesus' way. There twain't no twiggle room. There twain't no twiggle room. There twain't no twiggle room. It's only Jesus' way. So don't look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. Look left and don't look right. Keep that narrow road in sight. You'll be left if you don't go right. It's only Jesus' way. There ain't no wiggle room. There ain't no wiggle room. There ain't no wiggle room. It's only Jesus' way.
Can move the kids, you want to come and pray before you go to Good News, Joyful Noise tonight. Go ahead, Jaleese.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for a good day that I've had. And I pray that everybody else on this stage and out and not on this stage and all over the world had a good day. I pray that everybody will have a good day tomorrow and all the kids that have school. All the kids that have school tomorrow will have a good day. And for all the people who aren't here today, if they're sick or busy, lay both hands on them and heal them. And thank you for all the kids that wanted to come up here and pray today and have great prayers to say to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, thank you for this day. I hope everyone has a great day. But who's sick, put their hand on them. And let everybody have homes and be safe. And people be okay. Who's ever sick, put their hand right on them. And I love you, and Jesus, I pray, amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day today. I pray that we have a good day, and I pray that tomorrow, whoever has school tomorrow, I pray that they have a good day. We love you, in Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Jesus, save for stay. Just hope everybody has a good time. And just hope the people are sick, you can make them feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. I hope you have a good time and a good church night and the rest of the week. Amen.
Dear Jesus, help us to have another beautiful day at church. And all of us be good and listen through church. Love you. Amen.
See what they took us. How far? If we could do better, we get presents for them. Amen.
Thank you, God. Because I love my mommy and my daddy. My brother, my mommy, my daddy, and my brother. And my cousin, and Papa, and Nina, and my other cousins, and Jervis and Jeremiah, they're my cousin. Amen.
I hope my mom's up at home, Peter, and I hope my mom don't feel a lot that mother will die, and I want to who don't feel that, and I hope who don't feel today or tomorrow for another day. I do, I all do, and I don't want to do bad she, and I need to. Well, I want to talk to Otto, and we happy fun, and I hope you die. My van, I love my van, and my Dashin, Emmy, and Alaya. I love it. Hello.
Good job tonight. You guys can be dismissed to Joyful Noise.
here tonight. And so thank you to them. You guys have a good night back there learning your new songs. Amen. Everybody else, grab your new book to page 190. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the last. 1, 2, and 4. Are you washed in the blood?
Page 202, great standard of our faith, amazing grace. We're going to sing all five verses. I always hate skipping the verses in this song. They're all wonderful, amen? And so a lot of people know the third verse. I don't know why we skip the third verse at Baptist churches, but it's a great, great verse. So let's sing all five verses tonight. Amazing grace.
Was born.
I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Amen. You can be seated. Give you just a couple of announcements before we look at our prayer list. Want to encourage all of you folks that have already signed up for the chili to make sure that you have that here hot and ready, okay? That's February 12th, all right? I love my church Sunday. If you haven't signed up, I encourage you to sign up. Even if you're not a great chili chef, the more chili the merrier, we'll sit yours over to the side and we'll eat it. And then all of us, after we've gotten the good chili, we'll eat yours too. No, we're looking forward to that. I realize it's Super Bowl Sunday. If my Cincinnati Bengals are playing, we'll put it on the screens in the church. If my Cincinnati Bengals aren't playing, we're not watching it. No, I'm just joking. We'll turn the Super Bowl on for you, and we'll have a good time that night of fellowship. So come over to the fellowship hall. First, second, and third place winners there, and so that's going to be an exciting night, February 12th. But also February 12th is I Love My Church Sunday. And so with that, our goal this year, in the new year, we're really trying to increase our Sunday school attendance. We believe in Sunday school. We believe it's a great ministry. Sister Randy, Brother Carter do a great job there. The Harris and Brother Dave Fortunato, Miss Don Fortunato, Miss Chandra, Bethany and Logan Hatcher all do a great job teaching the nursery and the young people, Brother Brandon, Sister Megan, and then also the Mortons, Brad and Sierra, do a great job with the youth. And so we encourage you to be here for Sunday school every week at 9:15, but specifically February 12th, we're looking forward to having everybody come. We want a high attendance. We want to break that record again. And my goal is that we have 100 people in Sunday school. It'd be the first time we'd ever done that. And so we want to have 100 people in Sunday school on February 12th. So I pray that you'll make that a priority and you'll be here. And then the rest of the services, Sunday morning at 10:30 and then Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and the chili supper or chili cook-off to follow. We want everybody to be here. Show your appreciation for the Lord, for his church, and be here all day. We do that because sometimes people don't know what they're missing out on when you come on a Sunday night. I don't know about you. It's just a research and give back, but I love looking at these different cults of the world and being able to see what they are. Refreshes my memory on things I forgot. It teaches me things I didn't know, and it's also helping us to defend our faith and also teaching our people not to ever get involved with some of these different cults because they can sound good and they're deceiving at times. So I don't know about you, but missing Sunday night right now is a bad thing, isn't it? And you can't get this kind of teaching and preaching at every church, and not because I'm the one doing it. I'm just saying the doctrines of the Bible, right? We can't always get the Bible. So encourage your friends. Listen, the people that you know that aren't going to be there or don't normally come, you call them, you text them, you invite them, tell them, hey, you ought to really come back Sunday night, hey, and you don't have to wait till February 12th to do that. Come on. We can do that now, right, Brother Randy? I mean, that could happen a month before. And then also I want to encourage you, I know nobody likes to talk about money, but money is something that we got to talk about because God talks about it. Jesus talks about it more than any other subject in the New Testament. And so we have our Fill the Well Building Fund offering, and we will start that February 5th as we continue to celebrate as we've entered into the 2023 year, headed towards September, our fifth year anniversary. And so February 5th, that morning, there'll be the table over there with the building fund box on it with some envelopes. You are welcome to put your building fund offering on your regular tithe check and in your regular paperwork there. It shows up online, and we'll divide that up. But everything that goes to the building fund from February 5th through April 30th goes to that Fill the Well. We've done Joe Ash's chest in the past. This year it's Fill the Well because we're filling up our bank accounts and our wells, getting ready for whatever God has for us. Again, I told you a little bit Sunday, but to reply and to explain to you, sometimes the sanctuary doesn't seem as full as it is, but I was looking through the numbers, and literally our church, 40% of our church regular attendance are nursery through teenager. And so you won't see them on Wednesdays. You won't see the kids in the nursery on Sunday mornings, but we are quickly, we have been out of Sunday school space for some time. That's why we moved the office. And we have desires to start a college and career class. We have desires to have a class for married couples. We have desires to start some other things and to have not just one general class, but a couple of different classes. And we have the talent here. We have plenty of folks who can teach. We have plenty of folks who are able, but we don't have any more room. We are completely out of room that way. And so I told you some of the the perils of having to deal with the city and the things that are going on there. And I can't control that, but I will tell you this, God can. So God's got what it's going to be. So whether that's adding on, whether that's moving, and again, I told you, we will always be in Trotwood, Englewood, or Clayton. We're not going all the way back to Union. Sorry for you folks that live in Union. Like, man, Union would be great. Look at Robin. She's like, great. Martindale Road would be a great place for the church again, wouldn't it? But we'll always be in that vicinity. Miss Denise lives in Union. We have that vicinity, but we'll always be in one of those three places. God has settled my heart on that. Okay, I've gotten to that point where I'm saying, okay, it's Trotwood, Englewood, or Clayton. That's it. But I don't know what it's going to be. I don't. But I do know this. It's going to take money to do whatever we got to do. And any good church knows that you have to have a vision. You have to look forward. And we will always be thankful for the pioneering spirit of this church and for what God has done. But we cannot stay and die. We have to go and live sometimes, right? So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's adding on. I don't know. God hasn't clarified that for us yet, but we got to be ready when it's time. Come on. We got to be ready to do what it is that God says. Somebody asked me, I don't know. Maybe there'll be a situation where we get another free building, right, at that time. And this building can stay here, and we'll make it a youth center or a rec center right here in Trotwood. I'm all for that. I don't know. I really don't. So if you ask me where we're headed, I don't know. I can say Trotwood, Clayton, or Englewood. I know that for sure, all right? If we move to Englewood, you'll be close, right? You'll be right there. So whatever it is, I don't know, but I want you to know that. But it's a great reason to give. It's a great reason to give. The Bible tells us, and we have our articles of faith, every actual Orthodox Baptist church has this doctrine in this article of faith called the grace of giving. That it's God's grace, that it's actually a blessing to give to God's work. Amen. And so we want to make sure that you understand it's a blessing. So do what you normally do, but this is above your tithe. This is giving specifically to the building, whatever God would have. And then if we have enough money in the bank, when we go somewhere, it needs rehab, we'll just do it. Come on. We'll make it pretty. Right? All right. Let's look at prayer lists here. I was told today by Miss Bev that you had some family pass away. Cousin, yeah, the Williams family. So pray for the Williams family. Pray for Sister Bev. She's going to be taken off to go to Tennessee, and so she'll be back by the end of the weekend, but pray for her for safe travels there. She will be taken off there. She was here this afternoon, and so she has to leave at 4:30 in the morning, so pray for her. We do have the Bowles family on our prayer praise list. They've been able to be back and healthy, and their kids are healthy still and better, and we've celebrated some Christmases after this long stretch, and so we're blessed and thankful for the Bowles family being back in service and being back here with us, and they were at Young at Heart, so we've had a great time just being able to be back with our loved ones here. Then also I want to encourage you to, when you see him, give God a praise. When you see this young man, give God a praise, but you can give God praise now that after church Sunday morning, little Isaiah Crum got saved, 7 years old. And so that's amazing. The number 7, the first salvation of the year through our ministries. And so praise be to God for that. I was able to talk to him and dad after service, and we shed tears and cried and hugged. And I know he's saved because I asked him who his favorite basketball player is, and 7 years old, he said Michael Jordan. I know he's saved now. I know. He didn't say LeBron James or Stephen Curry or Ja Morant. He said Michael Jordan. I said, boy, you talking my language now. I say, I know what's going on. You really are saved. Praise the Lord. But we are excited about that. We ought to rejoice over that. And then our missionaries of the week, Adam and Ashley Walls to Taiwan. He serves over there with his Uncle John, Ohio boy, down in Logan, Ohio, Cornerstone Baptist Church. And Brother Adam and his wife Ashley do a fine job there. Those missionaries there in Taiwan, not to speak ill against our other missionaries, but probably more than any other missionaries I know are getting it done. They're starting churches, seeing people saved, baptized, building buildings. I mean, they are, it's incredible how God's using those folks in Taiwan. So you pray for them. I've got some more prayer lists, more missionary updates that we printed out today that will go up tomorrow. So excited about that. You read those things and pray for those folks because God is moving all over this globe, not just here in Ohio. We need to be praying for those folks. And we did up our missionary giving this year by $10, and so that's been our goal every year to continue to increase that as a church. Just so you know, an informal business meeting. It is not, understand what I'm saying here. It's my goal to support missions through our local church, but I have a bigger dream than that. You know, we may support those people for 20 years on the field, this amount of money, but it's my goal and my prayer to train men and to start churches here in America, and then when they go start churches, they'll do like we do and take on those missionaries for support, and it's actually more money if we start more churches here than it is if we just have one big church. So my heart is really more on church planning and training young men here and evangelists and teachers and things like that, and we'll always support missions. That's right in the Lord. But if you think we're probably never going to support any missionary more than $100, I'm just being honest with you, because I think we can take that money and hire young men and young ladies to do certain things, and we can train them up here. And America's a huge missions field. And so that's my heart, okay? So I make those decisions with the deacons and trustees in prayer, but that's my personal heart, just so you know what we're supporting those folks at. We support those right now at $40 a month. We started at $25. We've upped it every year. This year we went from upping at $5 to $10, and most of our missionaries were brand new and on deputation trail when we were. And so most of our missionaries are as new as our churches, and so it's kind of neat to see them get on their field, and as God would allow, we could up it. And I got this news for you. We pay out of our general fund to the missions because we don't get enough in our missions fund on a regular monthly basis. So if you can add $2 or $3 to your missions giving a week, that would be a tremendous blessing, not only to your church, but to the missionaries all over the world. Praise God. All right. Prayer requests or updates from you folks. Anybody? I have my phone. Brother Kenton? Amen. Man, maybe I could go with you and annoy him. I spent 5 years annoying Kelly McInerney on staff. Maybe I could pray for Brother Pastor Kelly McInerney down in Savannah, Georgia. Pray for Brother Kenton as he flies down to help. I'm sure his mom and sister will be glad. I'm sure your mom will be glad for you to help with your sister. Amen. Yeah. So you tell Mookie we said hello, too. Brother Randy?
Mm-hmm. She talked to
gastroenterologist today. Yeah. I've got a lot of doctors and specialist appointments and tests coming up between now and April.
Okay.
He is thinking her problem is acid reflux.
It's a lot of it, he thinks.
And if God can use this man to help her sing again, yeah. I would be forever.
Amen. Me too.
Because that's her heart.
Yeah.
That's her heart.
Yeah.
And we sang a lot together.
They're still trying to determine what caused the episode I had that put me in the hospital. So they're doing more tests for that too.
Got it. Test and pray for Miss Wilma's voice and all these different things that have just ailed her. Mm-hmm. It's Randy? Praise God. Praise Dan Sturcher's there on your prayer list. Randy's dad. Pray for him. And thanks for his healing. Miss Robin?
Any wisdom regarding summer employment and then just no licensing to go through second teach full time as a more important
for you? Right now, licensed or employed to the county. Okay. Miss Robin, just some job things and licenses that our pastor doesn't scare her at Walmart. She was in the aisle at Walmart, and I came in, and I stood behind her for about 5 minutes, and she never knew it was me. She never realized it. She's like, she felt this presence, but she didn't turn around. And then finally, she turned around, she said, ah! It's like, surprise! Yeah, it's like, yeah, it was so funny. I stood there forever. She was so intent on whatever she was looking at, and I was just like, oh, my goodness. Yes. It's Jennifer. Sure. I did get to see Dick and Betty Robbins today, and so Dick was having a good day, and Ruby took Betty over after service this afternoon, and then Brandon saw Miss Ella and Miss Millie, Miss Ella's roommate, yesterday, yesterday him and Xavier went over and got to see her. She was awake, so they had a good visit with them. So keep those folks in your prayers that are shut in there. And then continue to pray for Sister Jean Woods. She had two dear friends. One was her landlord. We did find out that she's able to stay in her home, she's not going to have to move. So keep her in your prayers. And then Miss Bunny Snell, keep her in your prayers. We'll be going to check on her tomorrow. So just keep her in your prayers as well for some health things and her teeth. She hasn't been able to come to church because if you know Miss Bunny, she's not coming here without any teeth. She's not going to let you see her that way, but pray for her. Ms. Diana?
Please pray for Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy's been talking about her mom.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, she was sitting on the floor praying to her God to bring her mom back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard her up there wanting her mom back.
Yep. Yeah, pray for little Daisy. It's not a easy thing to do, so please pray for her. Right.
She's five.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she doesn't know.
She's thinking a lot about her mom.
Right. Yeah. Pray for little Daisy. Daisy Early. Anybody else? All right. Well, look in your Bibles here. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. You know, sometimes when you're preaching all the time, I mean, you know, hopefully you know everything that you're going to preach God gave you, right? And then sometimes what God gave you, you're really, really excited about. You know, sometimes the word that the Lord gave you. And I believe tonight that I have a word for you. I believe that there's something here that everybody can take and can get. And very much so, when God ignited my heart to preach out of this text and to bring this message, God really stirred my soul in a fresh anointing tonight, and so I'm very excited about that. A message that we'll call Sometimes God. Sometimes God. The word sometimes means occasionally or rather than all the time. And we see that tonight, that God does things, sometimes God does things differently than he does other times, doesn't he? Sometimes God. And so we see that tonight. And we're using the story about this Canaanite woman and her faith in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, 21, and we'll read down through the 28th verse this evening. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or good to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Tyre and Sidon, sometimes called Tyre, are places in Lebanon. And so this woman, though the general landscape of Israel today is not all of the Canaan land that God promised the Israelites, it's actually just a little sliver of what God ultimately promised them from Syria on down into the eastern portions and all the way down into Arabia, God had promised the children of Israel. But here we see this woman has now lived in Lebanon, so that makes her a Gentile woman. She's not an Israelite. Jesus, it's interesting, had moved through the coast here because the Jews had continued to reject him, and even in Jewry, they were wanting to kill Jesus to this point. And so now Jesus is moving in this story. See, we look in verse 21, and it's often skipped over when you read your Bible as not of any significance, but it's really a foreshadowing of Calvary that Jesus would die for everyone's sin, both Jew and Greek. We'll see that in a moment. But I want you to understand that sometimes God does things in a different fashion. That he doesn't always do it the exact same for everyone, for every situation. That sometimes God does something different. Number one, I want you to understand that sometimes God hears us but ignores our requests. Sometimes God hears us but he ignores our requests. In verse 23, he answered her not a word. Now, it's not Jesus being rude. It's not Jesus testing her. But sometimes God has to see exactly how desperate you are before delivering you from your desperateness. I always think it's funny, but kids are amazing. You ever heard your kids, but you ignored them? And that's when you get the mom, daddy, dad, mom. And maybe if you're watching television, they go and stand in front of the television like, hey, I'm here. Even little babies do it. There's nothing wrong with them. And the little baby says, and you ignored it. And they say, and they ignored it. And then they say, and then you finally look and see. Listen, they're trying to get your attention. God is not ignoring us as parents ignore children. But sometimes God ignores our request, and the reasons can be multiple. But it's sometimes to see who you really trust and who you listen to. Watch this and catch what happens here. The disciples, they came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Then nobody asked for the apostles. Did nobody say, we're looking for Thomas, or nobody said, we're looking for John or James or Peter. Nobody said, we're looking for any of you, but they came and said, the lady came and said, oh, son of David. She's looking directly at Jesus and for Jesus. But sometimes when God is ignoring our request because it's not the right time for God to answer the request, we allow outside voices to creep in. We allowed outside entities to creep in. The disciples say, she crieth for us. She didn't say a word about you fools. She didn't want anything from you. But we allow outside voices to come in. Listen, in God's silence, will you bypass him for someone else? In God's silence, will you allow those things to happen to you? God was silent to Israel for over 400 years. In the intertestamental period, Malachi had ended the word, and God was saying, will a man rob God? And he says, listen, if you'll listen to me, he says, how have they robbed me in tithes and offerings? This isn't just financial. This is in heart and spirit. He says, but if a man rob God, he says, if you do it right, see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that there won't be room enough to receive it. That's what he said. And you know what the next thing that God said to the children of Israel was? See, Jesus was born, but that wasn't broad to the whole children of Israel. That's a part of the story, a part of the country. The next thing that God said through a prophetic word was John the Baptist saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. God said, get right in Malachi. 400 years, the Israelites, you know what happened in that period of time? They got in this deep captivity to the Roman government. They got in deep Pax Romana, where they were beaten to submission, where they had some vassal king in Herod, where they had a Caesar over top of them, and the children of Israel couldn't do all the things they wanted to do, the devout children of Israel, and they couldn't have what they had, and they had no prophetic word from God. And some of those Pharisees and Sadducees, they listened to the outside voices when God was ignoring the request, and they turned what should have been beautiful, and they turned the temple into a den of thieves, and they turned the law into a legalistic governmental system. But the devout ones were waiting on the peace and on the deliverance of Israel, and they were opened up when Jesus came on the scene. But actually, when John the Baptist, the forerunner, came on the scene, so much that they thought John might be the Messiah. So much so that when we asked the question Sunday morning, who do people say that I am? Some people thought Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected, because the next word that God gave them was of repentance. But people were listening to outside voices. So the same people that killed Jesus after 400 years of silence, they had let outside forces creep in, that when they saw God, they knew God not. You know, sometimes in our personal lives, when God is silent or when we don't hear God, we can't do what the Bible says and just be still and know that I am God. We have to go to an outside source, an outside resource. Listen, I believe the doctors and the people of this world can help you, but they can't help you if it's not from God. And sometimes we want to do this. This is what happens when people self-medicate. They say, what the doctor prescribed me wasn't good enough, or what I think should be the answer, and so I'm going to self-medicate with drugs and with alcohol and try this and this experiment. And that's what people do with God. When God doesn't answer them right away, they kind of get out into the world. You can wait for your request to be heard, Christian. because it took 400 years, but Christ came. But when Christ came, the majority of the people didn't realize that he was Christ because they had listened to so many outside voices. Don't you listen to so many outside voices that when your blessing comes that you don't know that it's a blessing anymore? Somebody say, oh, I've been looking for a man for so long, and it's not the man God has for him. And the next thing you know, they got that man, and it wasn't who they were intended to be. They've been waiting for the job so long. They wanted this job, and they prayed for this job, but they ignored God's voice, and they listened to outside voices. They listened to a mom or to a dad or to a coworker and said, oh, no, you want this job. Then they got the job, and the job wasn't what they wanted it to be. Oh, I've heard of people in life, they say, well, I can't believe that after I got married to this person, the person didn't turn out to be who I thought it would be. And my grandmama told me one time, if you date dogs, you'll eventually end up sleeping with them. Listen, sometimes you don't wait. You're not paying attention to what God has for you. You're hearing outside voices, and you allow that in, and it will cause you pain, and it will cause you hurt, and it will cause you to miss the blessing. Martin Luther King, in his last speech, spoke about a vision, not a real vision he had. It was a dream. He wasn't saying it like he had a vision from an angel. He was saying he had a dream, not the I dream speech. That was several years before, but that an angel came to him and said, if you could live in any period of time, God will grant that wish for you. Which period would that be? And he said, as he started to think about that, he had a dream that he was in Egypt land when the children of Israel were in bondage. And he looked upon their afflictions as God did. And he says, no, I need to keep on moving on. And he said he moved through that period. And he got to the period where he saw the Greeks and he saw Aristotle and Plato and great men of wisdom and stature. And he said, maybe I could stop there and be born in that and get great wisdom. He said, no, but I better keep on going. And so he moved into the time of Paul in the New Testament in the book of Acts and said, maybe I could be in there and get the church started in the first century. He said, no, but that's not the place for me. Maybe I ought to keep on going. He said he got to the time where Martin Luther, in whom he was named after in the Reformation, and he says, maybe I should stop here at the Reformation period as they pull out of the state Catholic Church of Rome and into a Protestant lifestyle. But he said, no. And so he said he moved up into American slavery, and he heard the people singing, I'll fly away. And he says, even that, he says, no. And he moved into the early 1900s, and we shall overcome, and to the things. And he said, he got to the day and age that he was actually in. And he said, no, this is the day and age for such a time as this that I'm supposed to be born and supposed to be working and supposed to be divinely inspired of what God would have for me. But you want to know something? God ignored his request. Because his request, even before that, was that his children, the black children and the white children, would move and be together. But he died, and that still wasn't the way things were. But I got news for you. Today, your pastor is married to a white woman right here. And today, my kids and your kids play together, and there's no difference. And so even though his dream wasn't realized while he was here, it seemed as if God ignored his request. But actually, God just answered the request when he wanted to. Now, it doesn't matter how you feel about Barack Obama, but I understand this, that Martin Luther King Jr. marched so that Barack Obama could run, and it means that we should be able to fly. You see, understand that the request may have been ignored while he was living, but the request was answered because sometimes God hears us, but he ignores our request. Why? Number two, because sometimes God teaches before he touches. Sometimes God teaches before he touches. You can give a new driver a new car if you want to, but I'm going to do a little bit differently in my family. You're going to get an older car because you're going to learn how to drive that thing before you get something new. We're going to teach you before you touch it. You know what I'm saying? And what you do is you give them this car that they can drive through, and now Grayson's had his license over a year. But guess what? In a year's period of time, just a couple of months ago was the first time he had to drive in snow. Just a few months ago was the first time he had to drive in fog, and he's learning how to do it. And so I wouldn't dare go out and spend $40,000 on a brand new car and give it to a 16-year-old driver and say, here, son, go and have some fun with it. God says, I've got to teach you something before I touch you with something. He says to this young lady in verses 24 through 27, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, I'm not here. I came to seek and to save Jews right now. That's what I'm here for. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice she called him Lord in chapter 15, verse 22, and she said, Son of David. Son of David was a Jewish term, and she's a Gentile. She knew exactly who he was, and saying Son of David, she understood that David, the mightiest king of Israel, that this man was coming in his stead, and that he also was mighty. She had heard of the stories of the might of David and what Jerusalem once looked like. She had heard of the temple that his son Solomon had built. She had understood that he was the Son of David. You listen, you're not Jewish, so you probably don't wear a Star of David. This woman is saying, I'll put the Star of David on because I know that you are Lord. And she calls him Lord again. Lord is not just a simple title. It does mean Mr. or Sir, but here, specifically in the Bible, it means one that has the supreme authority, who is God. That's what this Gentile woman said. Lord, help me, she says in verse 25. She worshiped him. Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I like this. Because this illustration, I never had any dogs in the house growing up, so it didn't make sense to me as a young guy. But then when I got my first house and had my first dog, I understood this. Look what happens. She said, that's true, Lord. Truth. Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Man, my little dog, he could care less about his dog food. If you give him one pepperoni off of a piece of pizza, that guy is all over you. He'd rather have one pepperoni from his master's plate than his own canned dog food. He's saying, and you know what he's saying? He's saying, you're the master. Whatever you have, even if it's a crumb, it's better than a full meal of what the world's got for me. This lady understood, Lord, whatever you have for me is better than anything I can get back in Lebanon. It's better than anything that someone else can give to me. Because I understand, Lord, that in order for me to be touched, you got to teach. And the master goes on and says, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou will. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. You know what Jesus did there? Jesus was teaching. You know what Jesus was teaching there? He was teaching Romans 10, 9 through 13. Watch, I can prove it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the, watch, Jew and the Greek. Jesus had foreshadowed Calvary, and he went to Lebanon. He didn't have to. He did it anyway. If you know where Lebanon is, he didn't have to go there in order to do what he was doing. He went there, and he tells her, oh, you know I'm the Lord. You believe in your heart. You've confessed it with your mouth, and there's no difference now between you and the sheep of Israel who I came for, and you, the Greek or the Gentile, because what he says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She said, Lord, three times in a short conversation. Lord, Lord, Lord. Sound like a Baptist preacher praying. Lord, 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 Lord. She said it three times in a short story there because she understood that he was God and that he could heal her daughter. The only one who can do something is God. It's like the question Sunday morning. She answered it, do you know who I am? He said, absolutely. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about Ohio State University. 20 years ago, my friend was at Ohio State University. I was at Wright State. If you've ever been to one of the big lecture halls at Ohio State or Wright State, and you're at Wright State, the lecture halls are about 600, 700 people, at least 20 years ago. At Ohio State 20 years ago, some of those classes, 1,000 students. And I remember a story of a young man. He was taking his calculus final. It was the spring semester, and if he failed it, he was only a junior, so he was going to be able to take it again his senior year. But, of course, nobody wants to fail a test. And so here's spring semester, his final exam, calculus. He wasn't very good at calculus. In order to do it well, he needed all the time he could take. He needed to do it very slowly. He needed to think about it and go over his work. But the problem was the professor they had was a very mean and cruel professor, and he liked to pick at the students while they took the test. And he would give the test out, and he would walk through those old Scantron tests, and he would look, and he'd say, you're running out of time. You better hurry up. What's the matter? You don't know the answer? And he would cause all kinds of issues, 1,000 students deep. And when those students were finished with the test, they were to take the test and to lay it on the teacher's desk. The teacher was continuing to watch the clock, but the young man didn't do good under pressure. He didn't do good with that, but the young man had devised a plan. And so he took his sweet time. And an hour after the test was over, the teacher was sitting there at his desk, and the young man was still finishing. He had ignored the put your pencils down. And as the young man completed his test, he walked it to the desk, and the teacher had had the stack that was all messed up, and he put it into one fine stack of 1,000 papers, 999 to be exact, and the young man came down, and the professor said, oh, yeah, you thought you had it, but no, this test has been over for an hour. You're late. You fail. You'll have to take it again next semester. And the young man said, do you know who I am? The professor said, no. And the young man picked up the stack of papers and put his test in the middle and walked out. Listen, he didn't know his name. He didn't know who he was. And so there was no way for him to know whose test he was grading. All I'm saying to you tonight is we know who the Lord is. We know that our God, he's got to touch you before he's going to teach you. That sometimes he's teaching you something in the middle of a storm. Sometimes he's trying to give you something. But we have to be prepared to take the test. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how hard the test is. All we have to do is turn in the test of faith, and God is able to touch you. But I want you to see that sometimes God uses our faith to move him to act. Sometimes God uses our faith to move us to act. Not all the time. When God said, let there be light, that wasn't an act of faith. That was an act of grace. There was no people to have faith. God just said, let there be light, and there was light. God and Jesus Christ, his son, the son of God, when they were planning in the foundation of the world, the Trinity, planning the salvation story way before man was ever created, there was no faith in that from mankind. That's an act of grace and mercy of God. He just acted. But sometimes God uses our faith to move him to act. Think of Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob said, I will not let go of you till thou bless me. And then after God saw how serious Jacob was, how desperate Jacob was, God says, now you are blessed with both God and man. See that? It moved. Jacob's faith moved God. I remember Abraham and Isaac. God said, now I know after Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac that you've held nothing back from me, even your only begotten son, God told him. And so now the covenant between you and I are sure. Now I know that your faith, it caused him to move upon Abraham's faith. Think about Peter. Even though Peter was a little bit weary about it, when Jesus came to him and said, hey, cast it on the other side, Peter said, oh, we've toiled all the day, Master. We've been fishing all day long. Nevertheless, at thy word, Master, I will do it. And when Peter did it, the net almost broke with so many fishes in it. I heard this, and I believe it's true. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Listen to me. When we have a great faith in God, see, it only takes a little faith to save somebody. Listen to what I'm saying here. Faith and repentance. Because you got saved, but as soon as you were saved, you stopped believing God for big things. You had a little faith that got you saved, and so you knew you were going to heaven. But when you really get it and you're mature in the Lord, you realize you can bring heaven to you. Jesus says this. He says, hey, listen, I'm going to send you a comforter. You know where the comforter came from? Heaven. It's heaven. He's heaven sent, the Holy Spirit. It's like an ATM. God is not an ATM. An ATM has a limit on it. God is the Federal Reserve. He has it all. He can do whatever he wants with it because it's all his. God is not a genie. See, if God answered all of our prayers exactly when we wanted him to and how we wanted him to, then God would be a genie. He wouldn't be God. But God says, I want to see your faith, and I want to see you do something with that faith. And then when you do that, I'm going to move and act upon it because now I believe you actually believe me. Amen. Look at verse 28 there. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus essentially said to her, not so great a faith in Israel have I seen than I've seen in this one Lebanese Gentile woman. I think about that often. I think about how faith in God, the Bible says that we can't please God without faith. The Bible teaches us what faith really is, but I think about faith and I think about how that works for us. Now think about it in this fashion. You've heard it said to people, I never scratch unless I have an itch. I never smile unless I'm being tickled. But I thought about that, and I think about people, and Sometimes I remember the people were getting all bit up. They had dogs, and they were getting all bit up, and they couldn't figure out why they were itching. And it came to the reason that the dogs had had fleas and had brought them into the house, and they were itching, and they were scratching. But, you know, you never are itching and scratching if there's nothing there to itch and scratch. And so they were taking Benadryl and putting topical ointments on top of it, and they were trying to heal that situation. But then I hear people talking about smiling, and, you know, God will smile on me, but God will never smile on you if you're never smiling on anything else. Hear what I'm about to say. I am not an overly angry person, but that's why COVID was so hard with masks on, because you never knew if somebody was happy or sad. I'd be walking through the hospitals, and you could just look very upset and mean, and so I was trying to, you know, maybe under my mask, they'll see that I'm a happy guy and I'm not upset. It's very difficult. But, you know, I think about this. If somebody tickles me, I'm a very ticklish person, very. Sometimes Chandra just touches my hand, like, oh, it tickles me. I just like that. If somebody tickles my feet, I'm going to laugh for an hour afterwards. That's just how I am. But smiling and itching are reactions that are physical in nature that you really can't control when you've been tickled. If you're ticklish and someone tickles you, you are going to laugh and maybe cry and maybe scream out, right? When you're itching, it's nearly impossible. Well, they always say, don't scratch it. Have you ever had a cast? If you have a cast, I've had 7 of them in my life. Yeah, my parents must have had good insurance. But listen, when you have a cast, you itch inside of that cast. And you'll take a wire hanger or something, and you'll get down inside of that cast, and you'll itch that thing. And by the time you get done itching that thing, your arm just looks like, you know, hamburger meat. It's disgusting, you know, if you itch it. And I can hear my mom saying, don't you scratch that. But it itches, mommy. It really itches. You know, that's a physical thing. There's nothing I could do to stop it. But listen, here's what faith does. Here's how faith works. Faith is something that we have control over our faith. It's not a physically induced reaction. It's not. God has produced salvation through our faith. God can increase your faith through prayer, but he can't give you faith because that would be contradictory to the free will of God. If God could give you faith, God says he's not willing that any parish should perish, then God would be Calvinistic and God would save everybody. That's how I know the Calvinists are wrong, because God would say everybody gets saved, because that's what the Bible says, he says. Now, that's just a side note, but watch. So this is how faith works. People always say it doesn't cost you anything to smile. We're just using smile and scratching as an illustration tonight. But God uses your faith to produce a movement from him. You know what I'm able to do just by the inflection of my voice or the tone of my voice? You know why I yell and scream when I preach? Why I get that? Because that's how books are written. When somebody's excited inside of a book, they put an exclamation point. That's how the English language is. When you inflect your voice and you go up and down and you run through, you're taught in communications classes and homiletics and preaching, that you are getting the attention of the people and you're driving certain points home and you're giving certain things here. And so you want to have some kind of verbal gymnastics, not so that you can be some great orator, but that you can bring the point home. And so I know this, when I tell a joke, I probably ought to smile. Even when it's not funny, as most of my jokes are not. But I know if I smile, even if you thought it was stupid, you guys do that. You chuckle. It elicits a response from you that even if you don't want to laugh, you have to. Brother Chuck tries his hardest not to laugh every time. And this is what he does. He's trying really hard, but it's a listening response. You know what it is? It's like faith. Sometimes God's sitting there and he's waiting to see what you do, but it's going to take you to make him act upon. It's going to take your smile. Sometimes you don't want to scratch it. Your mama done told you don't scratch it, but it's so itchy. And as soon as you scratch it, it brings a response from your mom. I told you not to scratch it. It brings movement. That's the way God works with our faith towards him. Sometimes God wants to see your faith, and then he acts upon our faith. I just proved it biblically that that's what he does. Think about Jesus Christ going to the cross. He said, Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And do you understand that that act of faith by Jesus Christ scratched the itch of sin for all mankind. And for everyone who said, Lord, I believe that you scratched the itch of sin, God the Father accepted that on behalf of his son's faith and said, you're saved. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and I'm surely not saying that he had a smile on his face, but I surely know this. When the daughters of Jerusalem were weeping for him, he said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves because of what's going on and what's happening here. But you don't need to weep about what's happening to me because I'm doing this on purpose. Jesus essentially said, I'm smiling while I go to the cross, because Jesus knew that when he smiled and went to the cross and he died on that cross, that it paid for the sins of all mankind, and that there would be so many of us that would accept that smile and say, yes, Lord, yes, you saved me on Calvary's cross and you saved my soul. And Jesus, listen, we always say, there's rejoicing in heaven when the angels in heaven, they rejoiced in heaven when little Isaiah got saved, when one sinner gets saved. How much more do you think Jesus rejoices in heaven when someone he died for accepts that he died for them? You ever thought about this? Jesus says, my joy, I leave with you my joy. My joy. Jesus was joyous. It's not like those movies and The Chosen and all these things you watch where Jesus looks grumpy all the time. No, 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 no. According to the Word of God, Jesus was joyous. There were sorrows. He's called the man of sorrows. I get it. But there was joy. And the only joy Jesus has is when people have faith in him. That's why he healed. How many times has Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has healed thee. You know what it was? Jesus is saying, you believe me. You believe that I can scratch the itch and you don't have to do anything for it. You believe that I can make you smile without having to touch your tickle. Listen, I want you to remember this. Jesus sometimes has to teach you before he touches you. Sometimes God is going to hear you but ignore it, because there's a time there where God is proving out that you really believe that he is God, and you don't have to go outside of God to get what God has for you. Because if God waits 400 years as he did before he sent his son, we've been waiting 2,000 years for him to come back, and I still can't find anything better than following Jesus. But do you think God's ignoring us? I don't. I think God's waiting for the fullness of the Gentiles. He's waiting for that day, for that trumpet call. Come up hither. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting on the rapture. He's waiting for more people to get saved, for more people to get that itch scratched, for more people to laugh at the joy of Jesus. And then he says, listen, the only way I can act upon that is by you calling upon the name of the Lord, by proving out your faith in your heart and with your mouth, not by your works, but doing that. And when you do that, sometimes, you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, all right, I'm going to act upon that. But all the time, when we get the sometimes, God saves. God is good, isn't he? Sometimes you feel like he's ignoring you. Sometimes you feel like, hey, God, why do I have to learn this hard lesson? Sometimes you feel like, oh, God, I don't have enough faith to do this. But I want to tell you tonight, friend, that all the time, God is able. That all the time, the sometimes that God does is not a sometimes because of ignoring. It's not a sometimes because of rules, religion, law, or works. The sometimes is because God is God, and God knows exactly when, where, and how you need what you're desiring to be accomplished. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for